Chapter 25. The List.
Skola Sykana Security Incident Report. At 1:15, sensors spiked around the Clan Balajam habitation block, Fethit. The sanitation and repair drones have been activated. No further action was taken.
The aftermark of gore semen spiraled up my arm from right hand to shoulder. It looked like a dead flower with a long, barbed, twining stem. That was Samara's take. The aftermarks of Zaxes and Kiskaman were simply dimpled burn scars on each shoulder, and she suggested a graft to remove them. It would be a shame to lose half the set, I said. Without those marks, I'd never have met you and your family.
They scare my mother,
she said. I doubted that. Nothing intimidated Lady Tora Kilhaven, and she'd seen the worst of it. She slapped me. She said you wouldn't do it yourself, but I knew better. I rubbed the back of my neck. Thank you for everything.
You can thank me tomorrow while I make my rounds.
I grimaced. You're not done with those yet?
2 more months. Are you with me?
I couldn't say no. Only interrogator Morgana Zhao waited as the lift doors opened. The firing squad must have gotten the day off. We entered the domain of Ordo Hereticus and their version of Psyker evaluation cells. Today, Morgana would be observing while I did the honors, but first I had one important name to address. Morgana, looking back to that day, I'm not always clear on what happened. Morgana was a supremely careful woman.
You were in a crisis and we responded.
On the tower above Sykana, I remember an alarm sounding in the distance, but I hadn't thrown anyone off of the platform yet. What triggered the alarm? Morgana offered a sardonic smile.
There is one name above all others that I have learned to trust when it comes to danger.
And that is?
Starfire.
And suddenly, I couldn't control myself. McKittrick made it to your door, I choked, the tears flooding forth.
Yes, she did. Her first word was Starfire, and she wouldn't go beyond the door until I'd sent the alarm. When it sounded on Sykana grounds, we could both hear it in the distance, the same as you.
I wasn't even sure that she was real. I mean her ghost. We'd become friends, and I didn't know if it was really her. It could have been Gore Seaman projecting a false image through June Alicante, or worse.
And why is that important to you now?
I've been trying to piece together how lost I'd become that day, but more importantly, I wanted to know if I should mourn her passing.
You've come a long way. Both women deserve to be remembered by those that they touched.
The first cell held Locadio Rink, and I enjoyed the look on his face as I took a seat across the table. Having been fully cleansed of his mark, he'd weathered the past month and was on his way to a full recovery. His aura had strengthened. His anger pulsed with the power of a Gamma Prime, but I didn't mind. McKittrick has moved on, I said.
Good riddance.
Pretending to be you, the witch killed her on the ride in. She chained McKittrick's soul in place and used it to control us both.
You were chained too?
And marked. I showed him the back of my right hand. For two sworn enemies, we had plenty in common. Rink had simply been Gorseman's fall guy and a way to draw me in.
Why are you here?
To clear another name off my list. McKittrick was my friend and I freed her. Now my class is one short. I want you to take the empty slot in 1137 Lima.
Why?
Part of me wanted to keep an eye on the Gamma Prime Psyker, but I had a better reason. The strongest Psyker in my class is a 13-year-old girl named Whisper. She lacks sufficient control of her power. You seem to have plenty of both, and I would count it a favor if you helped her gain some stability. It didn't take Rink a second to make up his mind.
Okay.
That was easy, I said. Why?
200 Psykers backed me up and you didn't falter. I'm not talking about your shields. You stood your Fethin ground and took it until the sister stepped in and called it off.
My balls were bigger the following day. They might still be swollen from Sister Mercina's ever-so-tender response. Rink tried to chuckle.
I bet.
During her time within the walls of Sykana, Alexis Silk had been violated and abused, body, mind, and soul. The Ordo's rite of banishment can be excruciating, even if they don't kill you first, and the ensuing weeks of isolation had been brutally hard on the woman. I felt utterly sorry for her torment and appalled at the task she'd been given. While she'd been confined, Funnel Galt had been collected by the Imperial Guard and sent off-world for induction into the Brotherhood of Battle Psykers. There hadn't been any long, tender goodbyes, and I may have callously pointed that out up front. The young woman was a psychic reader, with a potent ability to twist another's mind. The coercion skill had to be taught, and she wielded it with dangerous perfection. Sitting at a safe distance across the table, I wanted to see how she'd react. She followed a heartless preset script.
I don't have time for sappy goodbyes. I've already got a new assignment.
Anyone that I know?
A talented young man. Some in Balajam call him the War Master's ghost.
A slippery sort. He's known to react badly to any sort of compulsion spell. In fact, he's been known to throw away the women that use them. Her well-practiced facade gave way to a newfound humanity.
What do you want me to say?
Lexi, you're not getting it. I'm not Funnel Galt. I don't own you. Whoever does better get that through their head. She sagged.
So, what am I supposed to do?
I wasn't her handler, but I had a list of names. I held out my hand. My real name is Peric Kilhaven. Lexi took a quiet moment to process the introduction, controlling her reaction, and grasped my hand. She kept her psychic powers to herself. We both knew that there was a bridge on the way out with her name on it.
I'm Alexis Milan, an Imperial Guard special agent to Sykana.
Silk, like silver, had been a front. Lexi, I need a negotiator on my behalf. Would you be interested in the position? I had 9 months to line up the best deal possible. She offered me her warmest smile.
Well, I happen to be available. What are you after?
Let's start with an upgrade. I remembered to snap my fingers this time as Starfire jumped from elsewhere into my hand. Through the mimicry of Gorsaemon, June Alicante had learned to project her ethereal self in a convenient guise, but her most impressive skill was the ability to cast psyker spells through her astral body. I could collect or emit plenty of raw energy in my astral form, but I hadn't mastered the ability to channel complex spells. At least not yet. The Imperial Guard had replaced Horatio Balagim yet again, and Lexi made it known that the statue had been upgraded in terms of ceramite armor and reactive plating. It was as if the guard was daring me to try again. What can I say? I needed the practice. My first night back at Skola Sykana, I'd called for a midnight parade. Through the resources of Dean Kilhaven, repairs had been made to the satellite, re-leveling the floor and straightening out the warped railings and supports. The explosion had been short-lived, and the lack of anything flammable in the surrounding area minimized the overall effects. The only material change was the addition of a railing where once there'd been none. My reputation with high places made the upgrade imperative. I'd emptied the entire clan house. No stragglers or watchers were to remain behind. If someone wanted to sneak in and steal our statue, they could go ahead and try. The route chosen was suspect in that we headed north to go south. As we marched past the gates of the Ecclesiarchy, we halted with great expectations and unmuted angst in hand. At least that's how the gate guards reacted. I told them we'd be gone as soon as I got what I wanted, a date with a sister of the Abyss. The Balagem scattered as Mercina appeared, and I signaled Lexi to lead the clan onward to our destination. Mercy knew my dates were always an event, and had dressed appropriately, wearing black leather over a skirt, a sidearm and saber, and an ugly necklace. A small tattoo now adorned her right temple, a small black flame held in the palm of a hand. As I leaned in close to examine it in the weak light, Mercy grabbed me in a hug, kissed me, and pushed me away. She waited for my reaction, not saying a word. Nice inkwork. The black flame suits you. I leaned in and kissed the tattoo, feeling the inverted soul's power draw me in like a moth, and somehow ended up with my lips locked onto hers. She whispered,
I missed you.
Me too, though I'm not the man you once knew.
Thank the Emperor for that.
I clasped her hand. Tonight is a night for high places. Are you with us?
And tomorrow?
The best coffee in the universe.
How can a girl say no to that?
We took off at a jog, trying to catch up with the Balagem crowd. I wanted to be there to see their reaction when we reached the top of Skola Sykana. The lack of lasers and loud music told me that my gift had had the desired effect. As we cleared the last rungs of the service ladders and reached the platform, the night sky glistened immediately above us. Each symbol and name shined with a silvery fire on the ceiling, giving the otherwise shadowy space an unbound mood. The back wall's glyphs pulsed in a cyanic blue, and I was surprised to see the Sanctionites approach it and knock. They said it was good luck, getting the doorkeeper's blessing. Having met the doorkeeper, I couldn't disagree.
Did you do all this?
Said Mercy. It is a shrine for remembrance. I will be inviting Clan Killhaven to experience the vibe with us. I had one more act for the secret rebirth of Parrot Killhaven. I gathered up 3 flights each of Telekines, Pyros, and Biomancers, and had everyone step to the railing that faced north while I sat against the back wall, an arm's length from Mercy. I explained the necessary order and gave the go-ahead. As the first telekinetic energy poured in, my astral body stood up and began collecting it, followed by the fire and the lightning. The trick was allowing the Sanctionites to cast the spells. I only had to catch and release them at the right time. Juggling 3 spells at once, I didn't shunt anything away. As the last lightning landed, I shot from the platform, making an effortless leap across campus to the Balagem courtyard. I released the kinetic energy first, prying the new statue free of the ground. It was heavier by far than the last, so I waited, letting the energy multiply in my mind before superheating the air beneath it. I used the last of the telekine magic to compress the chemical reaction, and Horatio shot straight up 100 feet high. The Imperial Guard had added extra layers of armor to the War Master, but the bottom side of its base was completely naked and glowing red hot. In the semi-dark of downtime, it was the perfect target. Some might have called that cheating, but I called it confetti. The War Master statue sparkled with unused power as it rained down upon the blocks around Clan Balagem. I opened my eyes as the shockwave rocked the satellite platform. I barely felt it among the jumping and the screams of the other clan members celebrating the event. Mercy nudged me.
Why is that woman staring at you?
She works for the Imperial Guard. They're the ones that built the War Master statue.
By the look on her face, I'd say she'd be more than happy working under you.
My eyes went wide with eager anticipation. You think so?
I think we better leave before it comes to that.
Mercy pulled me to my feet and into a long kiss, not giving anyone else a chance. I could respect her decision. Mercy had played her role in the elevator, shielding me from a Hereticus firing squad while others took me down. She'd been there in the Hereticus cells for days, covering me in a blanket of quietude as I sought to regather myself and my sanity. The woman had seen me at my absolute worst, yet she clung to my arm as if I were her only friend. In my mind, it was only a start. As polar opposites, we had the better part of a year to explore each other and hopefully find ourselves in the process. I grabbed her hand and ran for the platform's ladder. I'll race you down,